David Abramson, psychologist in a private practice, excellent psychologist, a terrible taste in music. He's joining us, and we're going to be talking about gender stereotyping. Mm. David.
Thank you, Howard. Did you watch the soccer last night?
You know, I started watching the soccer, but I then decided to be responsible. When you have to be up at 4 a.m. Every morning to prepare, to finish preparing for a show, it's not responsible to watch until 11:30 at night.
And you might be asking why. Why? Not only was I happy that Liverpool won, but did you notice the referee?
Yes, that was very interesting.
So I switched on the soccer and...
Tell our listeners.
I will. And I switched on the soccer and the referee who was... officiating the Super Cup in Istanbul, Liverpool versus Chelsea, was a lady. And I thought it was very, very fortuitous that we were talking about gender roles and, you know, this morning, because I watched with fascination. And by the way, this, you know, the all the officials were seemed to be female last night. And I just...
Which is interesting in Istanbul, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. And it was absolutely fascinating to see... the dynamic actually between the players and the referee, and certainly when the players, obviously being male, had a problem with certain calls, my sense was that they held back.
They did hold back. So
they
I got
behaved.
Exactly the same feeling, that there was that element
of respect.
Of respect.
Like, you know, and that I found absolutely amazing.
How well, was that good or bad is my question.
It's a good question.
Because I thought it's both. On the one level, of course, it's good that the players are more respectful of the referee. They should be in any event. But on the other hand, they were treating a female referee differently. Now, the question is, had they shouted and screamed like they would have at a male referee...
Or even been physically intimidating.
Would we have said, wow, this is so sexist?
Yeah. Well, I just think that was... I think, you know, when we talk
it's
about...
It's a great first step is what
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, absolutely. When we're talking about gender stereotypes, you know, really, I think we're making progress. We are really making progress when we think about it, and we really are.
Well, are we? Are we making progress, or are we making so much progress that we've gone full circle?
Are you talking about that we've actually gone to a point where we are?
You know, as Anati was saying yesterday, and the point resonated for me, was she was saying that sometimes the whole point of feminism is that everybody gets a choice, that women can be whatever they want to be, play any role they want to play. If they want to be the CEO, great. If they want to be a stay-at-home mom, that's also great. But sometimes what feminism does is removes that choice because it seems to be a lesser choice or a sellout or a compromise. Choice if you decide to stay home with your kids. So, Nati, I'm paraphrasing, but what you were saying yesterday.
That's exactly what I was saying. Cool. And you can be both.
You can be both. You can be whatever you want to be.
Right.
But the fact that we were talking about yesterday about certain adverts being banned because it portrayed women in a traditional role and men in a traditional role, I find problematic.
Well, you know, I think we often talk about, toxic femininity. And then at the same time, toxic masculinity.
Funny, I've never
I
heard.
I love this.
I've never heard of toxic femininity. Heard of toxic masculinity.
Me too.
They keep telling us that.
Absolutely. And that's, the toxic masculinity has really had such a negative impact on men, over the years and obviously on women because men,
Can you just define both? What is toxic masculinity and toxic femininity?
Toxic masculinity is this pressure and the social messages. Whether it's, you know, from advertising, whether it's from parenting, whether it's from society, that gives men messages that they have to be strong and stoic and, that there's no room for sensitivity. And, you know, they've, as usual, the Americans have done studies, and it's been devastating for men. And, you know, if we look at the statistics, 90% of men in the States, 90% commit homicide. And 70%
what?
90% of the homicides that are committed in the United States
are committed by men. Not 90% of men commit homicides.
90% of men commit homicides.
No, David.
Is my English incorrect?
No, your syntax is confusing.
Okay.
If you say that 90% of American men commit homicide, that means 90% of all men in America murder somebody.
Sorry. 90% of all the murders that take place.
So 90% of homicides are committed by men.
There we go.
Not in the show Chicago, hey? I'm just saying. Yeah.
And 77% of victims of murder are men, and men are 3.5 times more likely to die by suicide than women. And so what are we saying here? We're saying that toxic masculinity has had a devastating effect on men's ability to show vulnerability, to be able to come forward when they are struggling with things. And then obviously by internalizing all this anger, not only, you know, not showing this vulnerability, they expressing their anger in absolutely violent and unacceptable ways, which then,
it's a big problem in South Africa as well.
And absolutely. Yeah. So toxic masculinity is just as big as a problem as toxic femininity. And
when all we right. talk about what is toxic femininity?
You know, it's very much around the pressures that women feel around what it means to be that ideal woman. And what we're talking about is, you know, social media around, you know, being thin, being, you know, looking in a certain way. And sometimes absolutely, you know, being what you need to be. And that can be very confusing. You know, do you need to be, a housewife and, an executive? What do you need to be? This absolute pressure to maybe be everything instead of saying, as Anati, I think, correctly said, be what you want to be. Be what fulfills you, not what that stereotype is pushing you towards.
So how do we do this? You know, how do we manage to portray a message without falling over ourselves and doing damage? Because I really do believe, and I keep pushing back to this point because I feel strongly about it, is that when we tell people we can't advertise, and we can't reflect society where a woman is sitting on a park bench reading a book while her baby sleeps, then I think we've got a real problem.
I agree. Absolutely. Because that woman has chosen to maybe be a stay-at-home mom. And what's wrong with that?
Do you even remember there was an advert with a man and a woman in a hotel, and I think the man was working on a laptop, and the woman was in, they were having breakfast, and the woman was reading a fashion magazine, and I was like, what is wrong with someone reading a fashion magazine? You can be a CEO of a company and still read Vogue.
There was more to it than that. There was another photo in the same series where they were lying on the bed. Yes. Oh, no, he wasn't on a laptop. He was reading the Financial Mail, they were lying on this bed. There were two complaints. He was reading the Financial Mail, and she was reading a fashion magazine. So that was the first complaint. The second complaint was, as they lay on this bed, there was breakfast on the bed between them, right?
Yeah.
And the croissants and the pastries were closer to him, and the fruit was closer to her. And they said, how dare they suggest that the women would be so concerned so as not to eat the croissants. I mean, it was absurd.
And a lot of us are concerned. A lot of us eat fruit salad. I have fruit salad in the fridge right now.
Right now, as we speak.
People are so nuts.
And that is nuts.
And that's when it becomes toxic.
And they had to remove that. They had to apologize for that advert. I don't remember. It was one of the, I think it was a South African advert even.
Yeah, that we can't be a certain way. They're literally dictating that we cannot be a certain way. And they fail to understand how multifaceted we are, as I was saying yesterday. It's absolutely crazy.
As are men. Yeah. And if a man decides to stay home and because his wife wants to work or...
No, that's ridiculous. Nobody would do that, David.
Howard. Oh, they do.
They do. I'm joking. So again,
I just wanted to put it out there.
Do you know, but I was listening to your program yesterday because I really enjoy listening.
Thank you very much.
And you were talking about that advert that was banned in the UK where a man is, you know, fixated on the Philadelphia cheese.
Yes, while he lets his baby go around on the sushi conveyor belt.
I was thinking, imagine it was a woman, and a woman was replaced by the man, and she let the baby go around the conveyor belt.
Uh-huh.
What kind of response would we have got? Would that be a neglectful mom?
It would have been, they would have said shaming the mother, shaming because she's not even entitled to spend a moment like, you know, savoring something without worrying about a child. I don't know.
Absolutely. So I think the point is that we need to be able to accept that people have choice and that we don't prescribe, including the feminists, including the people who put pressure on males to be so masculine. And I think it's about opening it up. Zanati says a possibility. You know, the other day, it's something that I think, you know, I saw and I thought it was very, very powerful. If you ever ask your son, for example, or even asking you, Howard, what makes a good man? What makes a good man? What would you answer?
I would say moral courage.
And then if we change the question and ask what makes a real man, doesn't that change the dynamic around?
Interesting.
Because often when we talk, be a real man, you know, not be a good man, be a real man. That changes the whole dynamic around.
A nice set of cowboy boots.
I found a tweet actually yesterday. Someone was asking, this lady was asking, is it right for a husband to carry his plate to the kitchen after eating?
What?
Then someone replies.
Definitely not. You give it to your child to do.
Then someone replies, real men eat the plate at the end of the meal as a true show of masculinity. Someone's like, if his teeth and stomach can't grind porcelain into powder, then do you really want his genetics weakening your offspring?
I love that. Absolutely love that.
Another question is, I mean, I've been brought up to come to a complete standstill when there's a woman and a door. I've been, right. And I remember at university being literally slapped across the face by, well, I should have known we were going to sociology. but I let a woman go, and the offense that I caused, and the words were, do you not think that I can open the door for myself? Do you not?
I thought my eyes at that. So, but isn't that age appropriate for students at university?
Well, I'd like to put it
out
there.
You know, I wonder where she is today.
Right. But I'd like to put it out there, you know, at what point should men be doing this? This is so confusing for men as well. You know, it's not about belittling women. Certainly my intention was not to belittle her.
But why would
it
be? But why would that be about belittling a person? If you let your parents go ahead of you when you're walking through a door, is that belittling them or is that being respectful?
And the question would be, I would also maybe do it for a male. You know, it's not just
100%.
It's not just for her
because
she's a female.
I think we've actually lost it. You know, we spoke about this as well, and Melinda says, King David kids don't get out of the way for anyone. Wow. Alrighty. All right, maybe I shouldn't have read that one out.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She might have a point.
I just don't want to label kids like from that school or that school or that school, but that's actually very funny. And I can't remember the name, he's apparently quite a well-known actor. The reason I can't remember his name because I hadn't heard of him before this whole Ferrari, but he was in an interview. He's got three kids and they were talking about this whole new trend in Hollywood. And it really is it starts off there and it might go elsewhere, but I don't know about obviously sticking to the gender that your child, not assigning a gender at birth. In other words, a child is born and you wait for them to decide what gender they are. And his comment was that, you know, my three-year-old, I'm not sure that it's healthy to allow a three-year-old to choose their own gender. You know, he said, my daughter, you know, she wanted to be a dolphin. You know, it doesn't mean that necessarily. And he says, I think it's quite a dangerous trend. We need to be careful of that. And he was completely lambasted. He had a couple of things cancelled. He had to go out on social media and apologize for his lack of understanding for the deep hurt that he had apparently caused. And what bothered me about this was this was bullying. He had been slapped around. He had an opinion. It's not an absolute fact that you have to allow your three-year-old to choose gender. I would imagine, David, from a psychological perspective, it's a very complicated conversation. Very. And just because your child comes home at 3 years old, from, I don't know, play ball or whatever they do at three and says, you know, I want to now be a mermaid. It doesn't mean that he's now now a mermaid. So, but the point is that he was so severely censured and it could have impacted so greatly on his career that he's now gone straight back inside that box and will not venture out again. And others will not venture out either because we all are being schooled by this very, I think, militant, aggressive, group of people out there.
Again, I think for me, you know, children, we see developmentally from about 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Children start to, you know, see differences in sexes. They notice that there are different private parts. And by four, we see this move towards, playing either, you know, with male orientated, if you want to call it, or masculine orientated things and female, orientated, activities. And by six, they can identify, I'm a boy, I'm a girl, and I feel like that. But the point is, and it seems like the majority, the huge majority, of children follow that developmental track. But the idea that, we impose it on our children, you know, that we maybe, socialize them into a way is, you know, I think we start to nitpick. We start to get overly sensitive about these things. And sometimes, you know, for a psychologist to say that is, you know, we don't need to overthink everything. We don't need to take everything apart. And I think let your child be who your child needs to be. And if they happen to be a male and they want to play soccer, fantastic.
Absolutely.
And you do have a male, a boy who doesn't like to play soccer, well, that's part of his personality. But I don't think, you know, again, and we can say the same thing for a little girl. We don't have to overthink things often. Go with the flow. Go with what happens. Go with what they are showing you. But I think the point is, you know, go with where your child is telling you they want to go. You don't have to mold them. If they don't like soccer, to make them love soccer. If a girl wants to play soccer, go and play soccer. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be that they now are transgender or that they
don't label them.
You know, as I say, don't let them, just follow them. So I think that's the point. Don't try and mold your child. Let your child be.
Lead you.